The Lord is good to us, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Amen.
We have a wonderful place to come and worship God. And so come on up here. I'll ask my little friend here to sing a song. And it's okay. You can go ahead. Amanda, that's her name. I couldn't think of her name all of a sudden. Could you turn this down just a little bit? Are these monitors, are they testing? No. Could you turn up these a little bit? Because I can hear. And turn down the house mic. It's a little loud, isn't it? Hopefully the Lord will show up soon for me. I feel different, and feel like it's from the Lord. And I was today preparing in Sunday school over at the annex, and was talking to the Lord and searching after the will of God for the service tonight and the message. And I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart. But I feel a little odd. I feel like the Lord has something to say. Different feeling that I want to express to you. It's my heart. And before we really get into the Word, I asked Amanda would sing this song. When she began singing the song, I felt like this was something to do with the message. And if you'll listen to the song, maybe you'll have your eyes closed and your heart open. And you'll raise your hand and you'll seek after Him. Where our hope lies tonight. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you. I worship you.
Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord. It's my help has showed up. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, Jesus, you're good to us. Hallelujah. I wonder what you feel after Him. Jesus, you're our strength and you're our hope, Master. Oh, in Thee will we trust, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
More nothing I can stand. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming. And I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, fill your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's so overwhelming.
Hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Sing the chorus again. Go ahead.
Oh, I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, fill your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's so overwhelming. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming.
We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We need you.
Oh, he's so good to us. He's so good to us. Sing again. Just keep singing. Oh, there's something happening in this place. I feel a longing. I feel a desire to touch the Master. Feel his presence in this place. We worship you, Jesus. We know that you are here. We feel your spirit. Hallelujah. We love you. We recognize that we need you, Jesus. You're my strength in tribulation. You're my strength in my weakness. You said you wouldn't leave me when I was weak, but you would stay with me. I love you. I need you. I need you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
Fill your heartbeat.
A tender,
this
sweet
love
spirit
is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, fill your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your the more I find you, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, fill your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, fill your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. Your love is the more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you.
Praise the Lord. I want to read to you tonight, and you're hearing. And I want to begin reading in the book of Romans, chapter 4. So I want you to keep playing, Amanda, but play low. Don't stop, okay? I'm just going to begin reading in a thought, in the middle of a thought, and you'll pick up on it as I read on. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision, not in circumcision but in uncircumcision, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all of them that believe. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of circumcision only, but who also walked in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which had been yet uncircumcised, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made none effect. But the law worketh wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope. All right. That it might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. You can be seated. Now, it was not written for him, his sake only, that it was imputed to him. But listen to this. But for us also, that's me and you, to whom he shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised him up, that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. In the text I want to preach from tonight, we'll begin reading in just a moment. If I could title this tonight, it runs through my heart. The title, it says, Hope Maketh Not Ashamed. And tonight, me and you, together we stand in hope. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's never forsaken me in my weakness. Not one time has he stepped away from me in my failures, in my unbelief, but he has stayed with me in my weakness. If that's the one that my soul has fell in love with, oh, he's strong, and oh, he's sensitive, and oh, what power and what peace he imputes to us who deserves it not. But because of his name, because of what he chose to do, he imputed it to us righteousness. A relationship of peace is what we are in. The verb here is an expression of a present continual action. We have peace with God. Praise the Lord. And that is strength. It's because of what he did. I now can stand in faith, knowing that hope saves me. Standing in hope, it's hope that I'm looking for. And faith will lead me there. I will not be ashamed by the mystery I live in the power of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. It is a mystery to those who don't know the truth tonight. Paul wrote and he said, if my gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Praise the Lord for salvation. Praise the Lord for justification. And I want to read to you my text tonight, which is found in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope.
And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Oh, what a hope we have today. And the way, there's only one way to enter into this hope, and you can find it in Corinthians 15 and 1. Go ahead, brother, display that for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand. I'm talking about the entry. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord with me? For I declare, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. That is entry. Praise the Lord. Romans 5 and 9 says this. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. Isn't that something, how He saves us through the wrath, before the wrath that He pours out? He's saving us from something that He's going to do. What mercy that is. We have a great God tonight who is merciful. He always tells His children what He's going to do. And that's what He did to Abraham. He went to Abraham. He said, I'm going down there and I'm going to destroy them cities. Because He had respect for Abraham. And Abraham is our father in faith. And tonight I want you to know that He has respect for you. He cares about what you think. And don't ever hesitate to go to Him and say, Master, I just wanted you to know. And I bet you He'll show up. Because He's that way. He'll never leave you in your weakness. Because He's strong. He gives you direction. He'll give you strength. Because of what He did. He's the rule maker. For if when you were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall live. We shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also shall joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received atonement. I was looking at this word, and all of a sudden it seemed like syllables began to jump out, and the word became bigger and profound. If you'll look at that word, everybody just look at that word, atonement. There's something there. If you'll look real close, you'll see it. What does it say? It says at-one-ment. Not just atonement, but it says at-one-ment. And what He's saying here is He reconciled us to Him. In our failures and our weakness, He didn't forsake us, but He made a way of escape. He made an atonement, an appeasement for His judgment. He said that my wrath would be poured out on you, but He said, I have a way of escape. My children will call on My name. He said, I'll make an atonement for you. I'll shed some blood for you. I'll crucify this body. And I will appease My own judgment. And that's what He did. He reconciled us to Himself. He once again made right the wrong. Once again, he repeats that. He said, all things work together for the good. To me and you, in our life, nothing happens by accident, but it's by purpose, a design. If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you've been baptized in that name, you've been born again. And now you are the sons of God. His atonement, His blood, He has appeased His own anger against you. He has covered your sins. And He has given us a hope tonight. I want to talk about standing. Sister, when you get ready, you just taper it down, okay?
That was awful quick. That ain't really... It was sounding good, I'm telling you. You did good. I appreciate you tonight. That's one talented girl right there.
God, He don't make no mistakes. He don't make a mistake. He makes alive anew and again and fresh. Because that's what He does. He never went to a funeral and He didn't resurrect the dead. He's a great God. He's a loving God. By whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. Here's the reason. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. When you know, He said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. If you know the reason, you can survive it. If you know that God is on your side, and that these things that are happening to me are in my favor. That's why He said, if you know about it, you understand it, you can glory in God, because it's a hope working in you. And this is the faith test. I want to tell you about it. Two tests tonight. I want to talk about the first one. I want to talk about the faith test. I just read it here. It says, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because hope is what saves us. Do you agree? That's what the Scripture says. Hope saves us. The faith test. And I'll try to explain it to you. It disturbs me to hear... What? Is that battery ready?
Super. That thing. Just keep stepping on the cord.
It kind of disturbs me to hear people say, all you got to do is just believe. And I'm going to explain these absurd statements in a minute, I promise. And that all you got to do is speak to that mountain and it's removed, and then your problems are all over with, because that sends the wrong message. I know that you're wondering, what in the world is he saying, but just bear with me a moment. Because in that, there's discouragement. Because if I have a problem and I just walk over to my problem and I say, no more problem, get out of here. And then I turn around and I wake up the next day, or the next day and the next week and the next month, and I look over there and there's still my problem. So the Scripture cannot be true. That it's still there. It didn't go away. So it discourages me and I lose my faith in what is truth. And I walk away. It's called easy believism. And they preach that message. That message that if I want to be rich, all I got to do is speak it. Now, speak it into existence. First of all, I'd like to say that you cannot speak anything into existence. You cannot do it. But He can. Yes. You cannot. And I'm going to explain these statements in just a moment. Here we are saved by faith. And hope also saves us. Here's how it works. For example, if I say that God is... I'm unemployed. God didn't say I'm unemployed, but I am unemployed. So I believe God is going to give me a job. And I say, Master, I need a job. I trust that you will give me this job because I need to go to work. I need to provide for my family. I need to make a way. And I have faith. Well, I don't get a job for a while. And man, there's the repossession man coming, and there's my furniture going, and it's kind of hard to make it. Electricity's getting turned off, and they're getting ready to turn off the water. That's tribulation. That's what that is. That's tribulation. That's things that are happening to me that I'm suffering from. That's what tribulation is. Now, I get a job. I go to work. I start getting money and I start paying my bills, but I forget to pay my tithes. Well, there goes my works. It goes away. My faith test. I just failed the test early. My faith test. Well, let me change it again. I get a job. I go to work. I make money. I start paying my bills. I start paying my tithes now because I just learned. If I don't do it, then I'll be right back where I was again. I'm in a test, see? It's called a faith test. I'm suffering tribulation. Now that I've went through some tribulation, that tribulation, it worked a little bit of patience in me because I had to trust in the Lord and I had to be faithful to what I knew to do right. Is right. God will help I don't think God will help a lazy man, but He'll help a man that's busy, that wants to do good. But He ain't going to help a man that don't want to do anything. And God never called a lazy man or a lazy woman. He never called a man that was not busy, but He calls a woman or man that is busy, has a mind to work, put their hand to it. God will back you up every single time. He'll never leave you in your weakness. After you get some tribulation, then you'll get a little bit of patience. When you got that job, now I've got patience. I learned to wait on God, trust God. He gave me some patience. I passed the faith test to this point. And once I have patience, then patience all of a sudden gives me some experience. I'm passing the test. But at that point, after I just throw my hands up and go, then I fail the test. But God will come back and He'll give you another chance. That's one thing great about God, that He's not a God of second chances, but He is truly the God of another chance. And then after I receive experience, that experience gives me hope. And hope makes me not ashamed. Hope will save me. And when I have genuine faith, it will always take me right straight to hope. It'll lead me to hope every time. Then hope will make me not ashamed. And then I pass the test. That's a faith test. All of your life you'll be tested. You'll be tested. That's what you pray for tests. You want to be proven. You want to be proven, Scripture says, genuine. Genuine, that Scripture means adokamos. It means that I have passed the test and I have found to be genuine. You heard the Scriptures talk about how that when you're tried, you'll become come forth as gold, pure gold. When the fire, the Scripture, it actually comes from that. When they purified or gold or a precious metal, when it was purified, the dross came to the top and they took and they swept it off. And what they had was the pure metal. It proved the test. You know, the Scripture says when you are tried in the fire, you will come forth as gold, precious gold. That's what tribulation is. When you face the test in your life and the fire, the cold is being poured on you and the wind is being blown on you and you're struggling, but you still got a faith in Him because you had experience with Him before and He brought you some hope. And that's what He does. He allows things to come into your life to give you genuine faith, dokimos faith, proven faith. Genuine faith. That's what He's looking for. He tests you. He proves you. And you can pass the test. That's what saves us tonight, is hope. Hope makes us not ashamed. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, by rightly dividing the truth. You're putting the Word of God in shoe leather. And that's what I mean. When you see a mountain, that's what the Scripture is actually talking about. When you see an obstacle, when you see a dilemma, when you see some tribulation coming your way, you can speak into that mountain if you got genuine faith, because your God will show you through it. And it may be there tomorrow when I get up, but I still believe the Master. He'll make a way for me. He said He would. He said He'll make it for my good. And He'll help me to be what I need to be, where I can walk uprightly in the integrity of my heart. And I can serve Him with no condemnation in my heart. And that's what the Scripture says. For there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Yes, He did. I'm telling you, He made a way for us. He sacrificed that body. He laid it down, His blood shed, for an atonement for me and you, so we can be reconciled unto Him who has called us out of darkness into His precious light. So tonight, you and I have a hope tonight in this place, a great calling, a standing, and a standing is this, a standing is the test. That's your standing. That's what you'll do. You'll stand. And if you'll stand, you will adopt those precious promises. You'll stand in the mysteries. And that is, the mystery is this, that God was in flesh, reconciled the world unto Himself. And He has given us a precious gift, a gift of life, not of death, but of life. Given us the power of the Holy Ghost to overcome, to supersede the weakness of the flesh. Because He is with us. He said, I'll not leave you nor forsake you, but I will be with you until the end of the world. Tonight, somebody is in a struggle. Tomorrow, somebody will face a struggle. So prepare yourself to stand. Stand on a sure foundation. Stand up on the Word of God. And study the Word of God to be a workman that needs not to be ashamed, by rightly dividing the truth. Learn how to put the Word of God in shoe leather, where the rubber meets the highway, and not that easy believism where they say, just speak to that mountain, it'll be gone. But the Word of God is designed so that you would put it in shoe leather. Understand what the faith test is. See, if you know it, what is coming, then you can endure it. And that's what He said. And not only so, but that we may glory in tribulation. Glory in tribulation. How? That sounds paradoxical. Knowing, here's the key, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which was given unto us. See, if you know tonight the purpose, you know the mystery, you know you have hope. Paul wrote, he said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. There is no hope in darkness. There is no hope in blindness. But there is hope in the truth tonight. There is hope and hope in the truth that God will make a way. When there seemeth to be no way, He'll show you the way out. The song says that He'll show up just in the nick of time. Well, I have news for the songwriter. He never left. He was always there. He was there all the time. He was there when you cried. He was there when you suffered. He's never left you. He said He'd never forsake you. But He would be with you to the end of time. That's the God I serve. With me in my weakness. Well, He was there when I was just a wretched old sinner. He died for me. Before I was even born, He loved me. He was there then. What makes you think He's not there now? He's there now more than He is there then, it seems as though. Because now you know. Now there's a two-way conversation going on. He's speaking to you, and you're speaking to Him. One thing about God, He's got a lot of friends. He adopts you as His friend. He's not intimidated by your success, nor is He afraid of your failures. but He is there. He is an on-time God because He never left. You know, if you're waiting to go to work and you're on time, well, that's good, isn't it? And that's God. He's always waiting to go to work, and He is going to be on time because He never left. That's the God we serve tonight. He's not afraid of your situation. He has an answer tonight for you. He will give you strength when you have no strength, it seems. All you got to do is fall upon the face of the Lord, and He'll give you encouragement. Fall on your face before the Lord. Can you say, praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
All right. Praise the Lord. God is good. Walking in faith. Walking establishes your faith. 2 Colossians 2. Would you display that for me? All right. For I would that you know what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. That's not it. It's the right chapter of the wrong verse. Verse 6. I knew it didn't sound right. I hope this comes to my memory pretty quick. But it didn't. It's not it. All right. Yes. As ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him, and established in faith. Established in faith. And what he's saying here is that you, this faith test, this tribulation, this patience, experience, and hope, that's what he's talking about. Established. What establishes you is the faith test. Tribulation. That's why you glory in tribulation, because it's working for your behalf. Knowing the benefits and the purposes, it establishes your faith, gives us knowledge and understanding that our faith is more precious than gold. James 1:2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptation. That word temptation literally translates into tests. That's what it means. All joy when you fall into divers tests. And that's exactly what you're going to fall in, I promise. You're going to fall into a test tomorrow. You're going to be tested all your Christian life. Over and over and over to prove your faith genuine. God will give you a chance after chance after chance. To do it again. To do it again. As long as you got breath in you, God is going to give you a chance, an opportunity. Because you're going to be in these tests to prove your faith genuine. And that genuine faith is what pleases God. And you have to have faith. Without it, it's impossible to please Him. And the report card you'll be getting will be the one that talks about your deeds. That's what your deed is. Your deeds are your report card. And your report cards are going to tell off on you whether you were your deeds were evil or whether they were good. And that one, that test right there is going to prove whether your faith is genuine or not. And that's how you become reprobate, adokamos. And that's what the Scripture says. Prove your faith, whether it be genuine or not, whether it be of God or not. See that you're not reprobate, adokamos. That's what reprobation is. Reprobation is someone who cannot fathom what is true anymore because their faith has not passed the test. Their faith is not genuine. They're adokamos. They're reprobate. The Scripture says to look at your faith. Go over it with a fine-tooth comb. See whether you be reprobate or not. And the faith test makes character. It builds character. That's what it takes a lifetime to build character. You're either building bad character or you're building good character. Your personality is not your character. That's not your character. But your character is who you are when nobody else is around. That's your character. Your personality is a mask that you wear. And God knows your character. When you fail the faith test, you're building bad character. You're making the wrong decisions over and over again. You're building bad character. But if you're making the right decision, you're building good character. And by the strength and the power of the Holy Ghost, He says you can overcome. You can overcome the weakness of the flesh. Because He said, I would not leave you in your weakness, but I'm there in your weakness. So when you're weak and you feel the time of temptation coming and trial, I want you to be sure to call out on the Lord, and He will build your circle strong. He will help you build good character, because good character is what builds great faith. See, faith, some people try to make faith a size, but faith is not a size. See if you've heard this before. It says, faith as of the size of a mustard seed. Raise your hand if you ever heard that before. See, that's a lie. I won't tell you that right now. I'm exposing them. The Scripture does not say anything about faith being a size, but it says faith as of a grain of mustard seed. And what he's talking about character. He's talking about the quality of your faith, not the quantity of your faith. Because he talked about the faith as of a grain of mustard seed. What happens? Those things grow. And that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to grow in faith. And when you grow in faith, faith gives you an enormous hope. And one of these days, we're going to hope, and we're going to take this mortal body, and it's going to be turned into an image of God, the image of God. When he died on the cross, he rose from the grave, that same body, that glorified body, is what we're going to have. And it takes faith, and it takes hope. And when we have faith, genuine faith, it brings us to hope. Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
We must have a proved faith. Faith that has been tested and found genuine. It's not too late if you're in this, hear my voice, and you're here tonight. It's not too late for you. God's got a plan for you. He's got some strength. He's got some soberness of mind. He's got some character for you. He's got some hope for you. He's got some healing for you. He's got some power for you. For he's not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. That's what God delivers to his children. He's not forsaken you in your weakness, but he has given you strength to overcome, and encouragement. He says, come on, baby. I'm telling you, God is an encourager. He is the great emancipator. He is the deliverer of darkness. And he sets you into a marvelous light so you can behold wondrous things out of the law of the Lord. And that's what that guy was that was blessed in Psalms 1. It's because he gave himself to the word of the Lord. It's what it says he did. Day and night he meditated on the word of the Lord. He got up in the morning, went over to the window, raised the window and prayed, lowered it, went back to work, came home for lunch, went to the window, raised it and prayed again, lowered the window, and then went back to work. That evening he came back, he raised the window and he prayed again, and when tribulation came his way, he had hope in the master, because in the lion's den is where it really showed up, as he slept. I'm talking about that man of old, Daniel. That same God that was with him in the fiery furnace with those Hebrew boys, and the same God that was in the den of lions, is the same God is with me and you. He's able to roll back the Red Sea. He's able to make the light shine in the heavens. Hallelujah. Tonight he's able to make the rain fall on the parched ground. He's able to give encouragement to those that are despondent. I know that I serve a living God, not a God on a shelf somewhere, made with a carved out knife, but I serve a living God tonight who is able to touch me in my infirmities. He's able to bring me up again in my discouragement. I'm telling tonight, I have a God that will heal you. He will strengthen you. He will encourage you. He will say, come on, baby, get up again. Come on, baby, get up again. That's the God I serve tonight. A great and merciful God who loves us. He loves us so much he laid down his life. His life meant nothing to him in comparison to what you and I faced. We serve that kind of God tonight. A God who gives out blessings all the time. So don't miss out on your blessing tonight. There's one here for you. When you leave here, don't leave it sitting. Take it with you. That's what he would say. I just believe that God is somehow a country boy. He loves the country. Look at the landscape. Oh, my goodness. He loves it. Look at the Grand Canyon. Huh? Look at the Yellowstone National Park. I'm telling you, God is awesome. He is so great. He's on your side, Jonathan. He called you out of darkness. He said, don't stay there, baby. Come on. Don't stay there. Come on. He said, don't be satisfied with just being normal. When you got the Holy Ghost, you had got a ticket in the pocket of your soul. Don't be satisfied to go down to the reefer deck on the ship and eat peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Come on up to the celebration hall where the steaks are being dosed out. I'm telling you, don't be satisfied with just getting by. But I'm telling, put your happy shoes on and serve the Lord with gladness, because He is a King. He's the deliverer of power. He's the one that's dishing out the blessings. I'm telling you, if you're going to dream, dream big. Dream big. Shoot for the horizon. Don't just shoot for the other side of town. Shoot for the horizon. I'm telling you, your altitude will determine your perspective every single time. And I'm telling you, all the good stuff's up top. So get up, get up, get up, and come on. And let's celebrate the goodness of God together. Let's be successful, and let's encourage one another. I'm never intimidated by another man's successes. Praise the Lord, because I got peace within my heart. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What a great hope that is. That's awesome, isn't it? You think about it. You don't have to be offended, because the Scripture says, great peace have they which love thy law, and a few things will offend them. Now, it doesn't say a few. It says all things. I'm telling you, that's every bit of it. That's all inclusive. That's pretty much total, isn't it? That's all things. Blessed are those who seek after the Lord with all their heart. They'll never be turned away. As a matter of fact, He'll say, come on, drink deep of the water of life. There's something about the Spirit of the Lord He's encouraging. There's something about His presence always seems to make me feel so good inside and realize what a peace and hope I have tonight. I was thinking about that tonight. I was looking at you, and I was saying, man, those are people with hope right there. Those are folks who have a great hope today. That's exactly right. Hope, hope, hope that makes you not ashamed. I praise the Lord for that tonight. Can't you? I want to read one more thing, then I'm going to shut her down. Faith report card on the test. Do you have genuine faith tonight? Test yourself. Go over it with a fine-tooth comb. Look into the Scripture and see if you're meeting up with its standards. And I want to read one other thing. I'll show you. And James chapter 1 verse 12 through 15. I'm not going to read it, but it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." I'm going to show you the opposite of the faith test. Look in James 1. Pull up James 1 verse 14. Here's the very opposite of the faith test. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Next verse. That's the opposite of Romans 5. "And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth death." And sin. I'm sorry, bringing forth sin. "And death, when it is finished," I'm sorry, "and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." It's the right opposite of hope. That's the lust test. The other one is the faith test. This one is the lust test. So we have examples in the Scripture. Whatever you do, just encourage you to do this tonight. I don't feel like the hooping and hollering, but I like that. I do like that. I just seemed a little different tonight. When you have a problem, going on in your heart or in your life. You have a weakness in your character. Here's how you overcome it. The Bible says the word is like a two-edged sword. It is pungent. It's able to divide the soul and the spirit. It can make alive. It is so powerful that it can cause something to be born again. So what you do is you take the word of God. You find the problem in your life. You go to the scripture. You look for it. You look for things that are related to that situation. You take and you memorize those scriptures. I mean, you memorize it. Write it down on a little card. Put it in your pocket. And memorize that. What happens is, when you do this, you go over that, you memorize it, you pray it back to the Lord, and you ask Him to help you understand it, your problem in your life will wash out. It will wash right out. It's pungent. The Word of God is like a water. When you cleanse something with it, it washes the dirt off of it. Now, the Word of God will do the same thing for you. If you got a problem, find Scripture that relates to it, memorize that Scripture, pray it back, and soon enough, you'll find that problem leaving your life because the Word of God will run it out every time. Here, the Word of God will work for you. It will work for you, and it will teach you how to live. If you'll put it in shoe leather, that's how you do it. You put it right in shoe leather. And you let God do the work in your heart. Because the Bible says the Word of God will not return void. Whatever it has a purpose. And if you apply that to your life, God will work for you. He will, because He never leaves His children. He will be with you until the end of the world. Because He's God and He loves us very much. I'm going to read one more scripture and then I'm quitting. Y'all are probably saying, praise the Lord. Hope we have as an anchor of our soul. Because when the wind blows and it gets pretty rough out there and you don't sometimes know exactly what to do, the Word of God will anchor your soul. I'm telling you, it'll anchor you down and it'll hold you steady in the storm. And then it's not going to let you go because He made a promise to us that He'd never leave us in our weakness, but He would be right there when we made a stumble. It'll anchor your soul. It will give you strength in times of possible weakness. So turn your eyes to the Lord. Lift your voice unto Him who is able to help you, because there is no other help outside of Him. You can't do it yourself. You can be your own God, but you can never be your own Savior. And that's what we need. We need a Savior. So stand with me, and let's lift our hands up to Him who has made us, not we ourselves. We're not islands unto ourselves, but we have those who help us, encourage us. So why don't you just look at someone by, or put your hand on their shoulder, or grab them by the hand, and pray for that person next to you. Why don't we do that right now? Master, we come to You because there is no place else to go. We're asking You tonight to touch my brother, to touch my sister, to encourage them to keep on keeping on, to move forward, and to keep lifting their hands and lifting their voices up to You. Even when we don't feel You, God, we're to know that You're